Tom Gazzola joins us. Tom, what would you do with Jesse Puljujärvi if you were Ken Holland this offseason?
Sign him to a modest paying contract for a modest amount of time. He's a young player, and he has flaws in his game, but there's some upside there, and he hasn't done anything to earn a big-ticket contract for long-term, and he hasn't done anything to deserve a ticket out of town either. So this is a guy that's still a work in progress, Greg's, in my opinion, and I think you could probably get him for around $2 million for the next couple of years because he had a bad second half of the season. There was injury, there was illness, no confidence, as I've said, as Kenny Holland said, as you've said, and it turns into a situation where he can't really demand a ton of money. I don't think anybody's going to throw a lot of money and a lot of term at a guy that had a rough end of the season. Started out great, though, that's for sure.
Yeah, had a good start. Obviously, it's the whole season for him. And, Jay Woodcroft had a fair point in the first four games under Woodcroft. He had 2 goals, then he got injured, right? Yep. And so, who knows? Injuries definitely can derail things. I'm with you. The Oilers need some cheaper value contracts on the roster, as every team does.
Yep.
And so, Puljujärvi, Yamamoto, Ryan McLeod, Evan Bouchard, I think all of them fall into that category.
They do. I mean, Yamamoto and Puljujärvi are obviously the oldest of that grouping and should, in theory, be the furthest ahead. I would say that Bouchard has really stepped it up and took a good positive step forward with his progression in his career. But, yeah, those are the guys that are kind of the middle guys now that at some point, a few years down the road, will become more important to the team as they grow into their roles and older guys move on. But even a guy like Yamamoto, I know a lot of people out there have said it on my show, on your show. You can't keep both Puljujärvi and Yamamoto. Why not? What has that combination of players done to price themselves out of Edmonton, even with limited cap space? Nothing, really. They've had a bit of progress. It's funny, those two, because, a couple years ago, it was Puljujärvi starting off slow, Yamamoto getting off hot, and then this year it was the exact opposite. It would be great for this team if both of them were going at the same time, but there just seems to be this trend where one's going and the other isn't, and then one starts to go and then the other one doesn't. But you look at those two, and Yamamoto, who wanted Joel Farabee money last year going into this year, and that was unrealistic. And then you look at the season that he had and you go, well, what's Yamamoto going to command in terms of a contract? And I don't think it's going to be a ton either. I don't think he did a lot to really demand a big salary increase as well. He had 41 points, 20 goals. That's great. That's another step in the right direction for a guy that's continuing to progress. So I think you can find ways to keep both of them for a respectable amount each and contracts that would be deemed value contracts, cheaper contracts, however we want to call them. But those two guys haven't done anything to earn big tickets long term, in my opinion, at least.
Tom Gazzola joins us at Sports Leader TSN 1260. Yeah, I agree. It's funny that, you say Yamamoto and Puljujärvi, they're a year older than Ryan McLeod, right? But McLeod, in a lot of people's eyes, because, he was a second-round pick. He wasn't rushed to the NHL. He was developed in the minor leagues. And now you come up, and it's a perfect illustration of rushing players, and now suddenly it changes people's perception, right? They're like, mm-hmm. Oh, Puljujärvi, he was drafted 6 years ago. What are we waiting for? Well, McLeod's drafted 5.
Yep.
Like, it's not a massive difference at all. And so it just shows you the different progression. 24 years of age in the National Hockey League is not old. Far from it. And Yamamoto, Puljujärvi, McLeod, where can they go the next few years? Like, Ryan McLeod's, his skating ability, he's got a role in the penalty kill. And also, I think because expectations are way lower, people are like, man, what a great – look at Ryan McLeod, right? And so, yep. It's funny how the perception changes based on when guys are rushed to the NHL and also where they're drafted. And to me, 5 years after the draft, I give two squirts where you were drafted. It's irrelevant. It means absolute – and really, where you were drafted means nothing pretty much the day after you're drafted. Well, I shouldn't say that, because as a first-round pick, usually you can get more opportunities sometimes by some teams. But the truth is, what you get paid 5 years into your career is all about what you produce. Not, oh, geez, well, that guy was a first-round pick. We better give him extra money. right? It's irrelevant many years later.
Yeah, and that's a good point and good perspective as well. McLeod, you know, we forget about the fact that he's not much younger than those guys. But with guys like Puljujärvi and Yamamoto too, like Yamamoto spent some time on the PK, gets a little bit of time here and there on the power play. Those guys, at some point, will have to become full-timers on special teams. Otherwise, you look at guys that don't play on special teams. You could point to a Warren Fogle. You could point to a Zach Cassian. We're now at the point where we're talking about those two veteran players not contributing in terms of special teams. And when they're out there 5-on-5, are they earning their contracts? And now it's to the point where it's like, well, you need to move money around. And we're talking about those guys potentially being on the outs to make room for other players and to fill holes that are inevitably be coming to this roster. So it's crazy how much, when you look at it, this roster will change, but the core is very good. It's built to win, and now you need those support players to continue to blossom and take on responsibility, accept responsibility, not just be bestowed responsibility, but they got to want to take it on and take pride in the assignments that they get. And then you've got the other layer and wave of players behind them that'll inevitably have to start to push, and that's the guys like Holloway, that's the guys like Broberg. It's that natural progression, and I think this is why the Oilers now, compared to 5 years ago after 2017 when they went to Game 7 of the second round, might be better suited to continue to have success. Add to the fact that the two best players on their team are 24, 25, 26 years old, pardon me. I think Leon and Connor are 25, 26 now, which isn't old either. But this team should be built for sustained success, even though some pieces and actually quite a few will be in and out this offseason.
Well, what's funny about after 2017, now that's when they made some other trades that they lost. They lost some trades over the next few years that didn't help them. They've lost some trades prior to that, too. So speaking of that, Ken Holland, I think, is going to have to make some trades. But Puljujärvi wouldn't be my first trading piece because unless I'm getting a young player similar to him who I believe has upside but hasn't reached it yet, I'm not trading him for draft picks. I think it would be a terrible trade. But Tyson Barry, I think, has value. I think that's a player that they can trade. Because their defense core just isn't constructed properly. They still need a little bit more size, a little bit more speed, and even a little bit more toughness overall on their back end. And so you're going to have to move some guys. It's not one guy. It's not like, oh, just trade Tyson Barry and it solves all the other problems. It's not it at
right.
all. But Tyson Barry will have value to me. He's a guy. And then they got to try to shed some salary. And when you look at and Jay Woodcroft, because I asked him about Puljujärvi on the penalty kill, and he didn't really answer it, but he gave you insight. Hey, guys in your bottom six have to be able to play in your special teams. The Oilers had too many guys in the bottom six who didn't play on either special teams. And
right.
so that's why I think, you know, combined with their contract, one of Fogle or Cassian's got to get moved this summer.
I don't disagree with that. And I know fans want Cassian, and they point to Cassian and be like, he's the guy that needs to go. I'm not going to disagree. Like the contracts of both of those, you pointed out yesterday, they're $400,000 apart. I get that. But Cassian's been here a while. He teases you with his play at times. And, you know, I remember a year or two ago, Edmonton was shopping Cassian, and there were no takers. I don't know if there's going to be takers for him without the Oilers maybe having to make it a little juicier for a potential trade partner. And that's why I think Fogle might be a little bit more appealing in terms of a trade. But it's entirely possible one of those guys could be gone. But I could see why Cassian wouldn't be that appealing to teams who've scouted this Oilers club for the last couple of years. He hasn't been the same Zach Cassian since he signed that deal. And he's had some injuries. I get that, and I won't deny that. But that is what might make Warren Fogle more appealing to other teams. But then, Greggs, you got to hope that a Holloway could step in and fill those minutes, contribute more than a Fogle would. You got to have guys to fill in. And even Barry moving on, if they say, okay, we think Evan Bouchard's ready to put up those points, work the top of the power play, give us steady minutes in his own zone, which he showed he was able to do at times. He had some rough games. Him and Duck and Keith had some bad games where they got pressured and they heard footsteps and they would be on for two or three goals against. So, too, with the other pairings, I get that. But they have to be 100% sure that Evan Bouchard is capable of filling those minutes and those responsibilities that Tyson Barrie, hypothetically, if he were to be traded, leaves behind. And then they'd have to find a suitable replacement. And, you know, Philip Broberg is supposed to be taking a big step next year. There's a lot of excitement around him. He can play the right side. He did so in Sweden. Maybe that's the solution. But at the same time, I still think you need a veteran right shot defenseman that you could play 40, 50 games, and he could be tough. He can handle breaking up cycles in his own zone. He can make a good first outlet pass. Doesn't necessarily have to be a speed demon, but can skate. And the search for that would have to start right away if you were to move on from a guy like Tyson Barrie. So, yeah, you make a move and it creates a hole, but if you feel like you've got guys that are ready to take on those minutes and those responsibilities, fine. They got to pass that test next season. Those are tough choices to make. And we'll see if Edmonton can go about doing that. And then I'll just say this about, you know, the potential of trading a guy like Puljujärvi. You invest all this time, effort, money in bringing these guys along, getting them to the cusp of the prime of their careers, and then to trade away guys like that for just picks because you're fed up and annoyed and out of patience with them, that's not a good recipe for success.
Tommy, it's going to be an interesting offseason. We'll wait to see the Kane situation with the arbitrator. I know they're still trying to finalize a date. I mean, told that all parties involved would like a date sooner than later, so might come as early as next week, because once the Stanley Cup final starts, I'm not sure they'll do it, but I think they'd maybe do it before it starts. So we will see what happens there. We'll talk a little Elks with you tomorrow. Have a good one.
All right, Craig. And no Oscar Klefbom to those that keep asking. Yeah. Ken Holland put that to rest today, okay?
Yeah, well, we've been saying that for a year, Tommy.
Right.
Yes, no, Oscar Klefbom, unfortunately for him, will not be coming back to the Edmonton Oilers this coming season. Have a good day.
Thanks, Greg.